Blog Talk Radio.
Jacksonville, Florida. I am Dr. Mary Smith McCoy,
the speaker of the hour. I want you to know today that God is still in control. God is still doing great and mighty things. God is still answering prayer. God is still healing bodies. God is still doing the supernatural and the miraculous. I want you to know today that whatever your need is, whatever you need God to do for you on today, I want you to know that all you need to do is believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Word of God say, ask and it shall be given. He said to seek and ye shall find. He said to knock and the door shall be open. He said if we have the faith of a grain of mustard seed, and say to the mountain, be thou moved, it shall be moved. So today we want to build your faith. We want you to be excited about the word of God. We want you to get in tune to the things of God and to know that you can serve a God, or you serve a God that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly above all that we ask or think. We're getting ready to go before the throne of grace. And as always, we want to invite you to come and to go with us and to agree with us in prayer. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we magnify your name. We thank you, God, for all that you have done. We thank you, God, for all, God, that you're going to do according to your word. We thank you, God, that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Thy word how we hid it in our heart that we will not sin against thee. Lord, bless the listeners, Lord God, today, the hearers of your word. Lord God, let them know, God, that you are God and you are God all by yourself. But yes, you are the Alpha and Omega. You are the beginning and the end, the first and the last. You are the true and the living God. And for this, we will glorify and praise thy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. We just want to bless the Lord today and thank God for another opportunity to speak the word of God, to speak the unadulterated, uncompromising word of God to the people of God, to the world, that they will know that God, he is God, and he is God all by himself, and there is no other. Well, on Wednesday, last week and Friday, we was able to talk about the word of God. As always, we talked about the signs of the second coming. We talked about the coming of Jesus Christ. And so, therefore, the word of God let us know that we do not know the day or the hour that he is coming. But the word of God let us know that he's coming like a thief and a robber. A thief and a robber come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus Christ came that we can have life and that we can have it more abundantly. So today we want to go in and we want to talk about the word of God. This is going to be part two of what we had, what God has given us from his word. So therefore, we want you to get ready. We want you to get ready to receive God, because as we spoke about the coming, the signs of the second coming on Friday, we want to bring you in to what God is saying to his people. And we want you to know that no man knows the day or the hour when he's coming. And as I said before, he is coming like a thief and a robber. Now, we got to clarify that he's coming like a thief and a robber, but he is not a thief, neither is he a robber. But a thief and a robber come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus Christ came that we can have life and that we can have it more abundantly. So it is the day and the hour that we need to be get ready for the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, I know that there have been men and women proclaiming that he's coming on this day and that day. No, the word of God let us know that we don't know that day. We don't know that hour. But God did give us the sign of his coming. And when we began to briefly, I want to begin the reading of just a few verses from on Friday to bring you up to where we are going to be speaking on this morning. And it began Matthew, the 24th chapter, beginning at that first verse. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him but to show him the building of the temple. And Jesus said to them, see you not all these things? Verily I say to you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of the coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For many shall rise against nations and kingdoms against kingdoms, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrow. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because of iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. So here we are this morning, and we want to begin there at that 13th verse. And it says, but he that endure to the end, the same shall be saved. Now, when we look at this 13th verse, and it says, he that shall endure to the end. I'm not talking about those that just started, a long time ago. I'm not talking just about those that started 15, 20 years ago. I'm talking about the word of God letting us know that those that endure, those that hold on. So you can be there. You can start this walk with Christ, and you can be in it 5, 10, 15, 20, 30, and more years. But if you stop on the way to pick ladies, if you stop on the way to walk in the flesh and not in the spirit, if you stop on the way and begin to get out of the word of God and Jesus Christ come, then you're not going to be one of those people or one of those believers that he is coming back for. The Bible tells us that he that endure. Sometimes we go through things in our lives. We go through tribulation, which is trial in our life. And sometimes we would say that it's too hard, or we would say, I can't do this. I can't go through the struggle. I can't go through been tried. But you have to know if you love the Lord Jesus Christ, you would think about the things that he did for you, the things that he allowed to happen to him because he loved us so much. The word of God said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you believe the word of God, you're going to walk in the word of God. If you believe the word of God, you're going to endure like a good soldier of Jesus Christ. The word of God says that even as he has suffered in the flesh, to arm ourselves likewise to suffer. Something we're going to go through as being believers. Something we're going to go through as being Christian. Some things we're going to go through as being ambassador. Some things we're going to go through as being vessels for his honor and for his glory. Yes, we're going to go through some things, oh, without a doubt. Because, you know, when we go through things in this life, it will cause us to mature. It will cause us to be better. It will cause us, there's a psalm, say, Lord, make me better. Sometimes we don't know the significance of the song that we are singing or the word of God, because if we want God to make us better, then there are things in our life that God needs to deal with, things in our life. You know, we want to be perfected. We want to be made brand new. In order for God to deal with us, and all of God to cleanse us and to wash us, then we're going to go through some things. He had to deal with the disciple Peter. He had to deal with Paul. He had to deal with every disciple, every believer. He had dealt with those that have stood strong in the word of God. He had to deal with them. He dealt with them. John, all of them, he dealt with them. So therefore, when we go through things, we can't escape him dealing with us, teaching us, leading us, guiding us. Don't you remember when God says that this man was an upright man. So this same upright man, God had to deal with him. He allowed Satan to touch him. Why? Because he knew that Job was not going to deny him. He knew that Job was going to stand strong, even through the struggle, even through the things that he had gone through, and the Lord allowed him to go through. He knew that Job was not going to curse him to his face. He knew that Job would uphold him, and that Job would stand on the promises of God. And the same thing it is for a believer today, that we have to learn to endure, to be steadfast, to be unmovable, to always abound in the work of the Lord, knowing what you're doing is not in vain. Your labor is not in vain. So it doesn't matter. It is a blessing for those that have been saved for many years. Oh, but it's going to come a time when things, trials, and tribulation are going to come. And then it let us know whether or not we're going to be able to stand. You know, before Peter's completion of and things God was doing in his life, Peter, and I love Peter. Peter, he denied Jesus Christ. Some of the disciples left Jesus when they were about to let him up before they were arresting him. And when they denied him, some walked away, and Peter denied even knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? Jesus had already told him that you're going to deny me. You're going to deny me three times. Why? Because he knew Peter. Why? Because he knows us. He knows our makeup. He knows our heart. And that's why he's careful. He had to deal with us. So now when we get ready to read the book of Peter and the books that he had written, the things that Paul had written, when we read about Job, then we can, our hearts can rejoice because they stood the test of time. When we look at Daniel, come on, Daniel was in the lion's den. Yet God let him go through that because he knew that he was depending upon him. What about the Hebrew boy? What about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? I mean, my God. The Lord Jesus Christ allowed them to go through the trial that they went through. Oh, my God. I mean, some of people today, they would have turned their back on God. Come on. These men were getting ready to be put in a fiery furnace. But no, they decided that they were not going to deny the Lord Jesus Christ. They were not going to deny that Jehovah Jireh, the one that provides, the one that is a mind fix and a heart regulator, the one that's able to save and deliver and to make free. They were not going to do that. So they put them in the fiery furnace. I mean, and they had the fiery furnace so hot until the men that put them in it burned them up. So we see today that they stood and God brought these men. They didn't get burned up. It wasn't even the smell of fire upon them. Why? Because of the fact that God was in that fire with them. Oh, my God. It may not be flames. It may be not anything burning, but yet in our lives, but yet some of the trials and some of the tribulations that we go through in life, you know, don't frown at them, but begin to just thank God that you're worthy to go through some of the things that you have confronted in your life. You know, there are things that may sometimes that make you cry. There's some things that will cause you to get on your knees. That's a good thing. Come on. And so, therefore, it will make you fast. It will make you pray. You know, the Word of God says that man shall always pray and not to faint. So here we are talking about endure. Yes, we're talking about the sign of the second coming. You know why? Because Jesus is getting his people ready. The Bible says, be you ready. But you know not the day or the hour when the Son of Man cometh. So therefore, we have to be ready. And in that 14th verse, it says, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness to all nations, and then shall the end come. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whosoever read, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee to the mountain. Let him which is in the on the top, on the housetop, not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him that are in the field return back to take his clothes. It's no time to do all these things that in the flesh or in your mind that you think that you need to do. You know, because Jesus is soon to come. And it's not going to be in a need for you to think about the materialistic things of this life. Remember Lot. You know, remember Lot and his wife? Remember when Jesus was getting ready to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah because of the sin, because of the fornication, because of the homemonging, because of their lifestyle that they live, that homosexual and lesbian lifestyle that they live, and how men were going with men and whatnot. And God, I mean, destruction. Oh, my God. God loveth the people, but God hates sin. The Bible says sin is a transgression of the law. So, therefore, we have to abide in the word of God. We have to abide in the vine like the word of God tells us in that 15th chapter of the word of God of Psalms. If you abide in me and my word abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done. And that is the 15th chapter of John. So here we see that we have to abide in God. When we abide in the word, we are abiding in God. So when we see at the word of God, how in Sodom and Gomorrah, we see that it's white without. The angels had led them out. The angels had led the Lot out. The angel had led the two daughters out. But because she was so comfortable, and because of the fact that she didn't have enough of what she came out of. Come on. She was given the order. She was told not to look back. Somebody needs to hear me this morning. Because you are saved and you're almost out. But don't look back unto the things of this world. Don't look back on what you had. And you don't look back on the good times that you thought that you were in. Don't look back on those bars that you went to. Don't look back on those nightclubs that you were in. Don't look back if you was out there socializing and taking alcoholic beverages and drinking the wine and cursing and all the things that you did. Oh, my God. There is so many things that God has delivered us out. Everybody wasn't drinking. Everybody wasn't at the bar. I understand that. God knows that. But in our mentality, in our heart, we were not right with God. We didn't have the nature of God. See, we didn't walk according to God's righteousness. We walked according to the to our righteousness, but not the righteousness of God, which is by faith. So I'm saying to you today, it's time for us to get right with God, or we're going to get left. The word of God clearly says that he is coming. He is coming like a thief and a robber. And I told you that God is not going to tell you what day or hour that he is coming. But for the angels in heaven do not know the day or the hour. But God has already told us the signs, given us the signs of his coming. Those signs have already, most of those signs have already happened. Come on. The earthquakes, wars, rumors of wars, men being offended. We talked about that on Friday of last week. So I'm saying to you today, it's time for us to prepare ourselves and not to look back, because when Lot White, she was out, but she looked back and she turned to a pillar of salt. I mean, what is that all about? For her to be out of danger, to be out of a burning city, and yet because she didn't have enough, and because of yet that she wanted to look back at the things that she had left. Sometimes we got to stop looking back at the things that God has brought us out of. Come on. We have to look to those things that God is doing in our lives, and we have to appreciate the goodness of Christ in our lives. She was safe from the fire. She was safe from the destruction, but she chose to look back to the things of this world, and she turned into a pillar of salt. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, if you're already saved and you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you confess it with your mouth, the Lord Jesus, and you believe that God has raised him from the dead, The word of God said we shall be saved. If you did that and you're living according to the word of God. Word of God said instead of should I self approval to God, the word of God need not be ashamed to write about the word of truth. Oh my God, it's so important for us to read the word of God. It's so important for us to study the word of God. It's just like if you had a infirmity in your body, and that was if you needed an antidote, or if you had a sickness, and you need an antidote, you need something that's going to save you. You need something that's going to cause you to be healed and not die. Oh my God! Then you would take that antidote. So I'm telling you that the word of God is something that will keep you from dying, and that you can live. I know that all of us flesh going to leave here and going to die. It's going to deteriorate because the word of God says flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God in Corinthians. But I'm saying to you today, for your eternal soul, it's so it can be saved eternal because you're going to know. And everybody going to know where they are gone and where they're spending eternity. I cannot tell you, I cannot as much as I would like to emphasize the importance of your soul salvation. Don't look back like Lot wife looked back. I pray, God, that you hear what I'm saying to you on today. The word of God saying that in that 19th verse, and woe to them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days. But pray you that your flight be not in winter, neither on the Sabbath day, which is a rest day, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days be shortened, there should be no flesh be saved, but the elect say those days shall be saved or shortened. Okay, that's for the believer. We are the elect. We are the chosen people, and we should continually to pray for other people and to pray for ourselves that we stay in the word of God. That we be obedient to God, that we continually have an ear to hear what the Spirit of the Lord shall say unto his people. For in that 24th verse, for there shall arise, we talked about this on Friday, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophecy, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect, those that God has called. If you don't stay in the word of God, if you don't be grounded in the word of God, if you don't know truth, if you're not seeking the face of God through prayer, I mean, you can be deceived. Oh, you're saying, oh, Dr. McCoy, I know that I am not going to deny Christ. I know, Dr. McCoy, that I am not going to be deceived by no false prophet or no false Christ that come in these latter days and the last days. But I need to tell you, wake up. Wake up. If you are not praying like the word of God tells you to pray, if you're not seeking the face of God, if you're not studying the word of God, if you're not fasting and praying, and if you're not living according to God's righteousness, not your righteousness, because we have to live according to the righteousness of God, which is by faith. Oh, you can be deceived. Oh, you can be deceived by these false prophets. Because even when we mentioned on last week, how that when God sent Moses to Pharaoh, God showed Moses the miracles and the things that he wanted him to show Pharaoh. Because he was teaching him, he was showing him, he was instructing him. He wanted Pharaoh to know who Christ was and who Moses was his representative. So the Lord Jesus showed him what to do. He told Moses, as I said last week, one of the signs, he said to put your hand inside your bosom. And when he did, Moses' hand came out leopard, like a leper, was white. That wasn't the normal color of his hand. So you had to put him back in there. He was teaching him, and it came back normal. And then God told him at one of the times, as he was teaching him, that at the same time, he told him to throw his rod down. And that rod became a snake. God was, again, instructing him and teaching him. And when he, I'm quite sure he backed up, certainly I would have, not realized because he didn't know what God was doing. He was instructing him. If you had an instructor tell you something like that and that happened to a rod or stick you had in your hand, I mean, you would most likely get going. I mean, but God was instructing him, and God let him know that he could trust him. So after he had the rod had turned into a snake, he told him how to pick it up, and it came back at the tail, and it became a rod again. And then he told him about the water. I'm telling you the signs that God will do in our lives, and we'll know the real thing. We'll know God, but we got to stay close to God. And when he poured that water on that sand, that water became blood. But there are people out there today, because when they went to Pharaoh, his hypocrites, you know, that was there, those false prophets and those musicians that was there with Pharaoh, those people that was there with Pharaoh, they did some of the same thing that Moses did. But God showed that his power was being manifested in Moses. Moses was the real thing because he was representing God. And so it is today, if you don't know the real thing, if you don't stay with God, the real thing can look like the fake. If you don't know the real thing, the real word, the real Christ, the true prophet, the true prophetess, the true evangelist, come on, the true teachers, you can be deceived. So what we're saying to you today, that we need to know the God that we serve. We need to know that God is able to do anything, and that God, he is soon to come. We have seen things that have happened in the United States of America and foreign countries. We've seen things that are happening like never before. We see the wickedness that's in the world today. We see things that we frown after, things of this life that we frown, or we thought that things that we see now, we thought it was so awful, disgusting. And it stinks in the eyesight and in the nose of Christ. And it should stink in our nose, and we should be appalled to the things that we see. But we see now in the day that we're living, and I believe the Lord helped me preaching this because of the fact that the day that we're living in, men, they have been embraced and they have been encouraged to do things that are not of God. When God made the world, he made everything very good. And he created it. He made man. He made the woman. And he made us very good. And he didn't make two types of two men, and he didn't make two women. He made a man and a woman. And so, therefore, we need to know that we should stand on the word of God. What God made and what God put together, he put those people together for them to live, to marry, to love one another, be able to produce and to be able to multiply and replenish the earth. But we live in a time where men are doing their own thing. You know, we got people that are lying, that they're stealing, they're cheating, they're committing fornication, they're homemonging, they're not marrying, they're living together without being married. And this is not the will of a father. We have to live according to God. Now, you're saying to me that God don't love these people? Yes, God loves them. But there will be a day of judgment because he loves them so much that he already has paid the price that they can have a right to the pure life, that they can refrain from the wicked way, that they can turn away from wickedness and turn into righteousness. He loved them so much that he wanted them to be saved. He loved Lot and his daughters and the wife, that he was going to bring them out, even the son-in-laws. They didn't even want to come out. They didn't even believe their own father-in-law. They stayed in the state of mind that they were in. Sometimes if you stay around sin, when you're in the midst of sin, you can begin to act like the people that are in sin. Are you saying, Dr. McCoy, that you're not supposed to talk to people that are sinful and people that are unbelievers? Yes, you are supposed to talk to them. How are you going to get them saved? How are you going to turn them to Christ? How are you going to love them and make a difference in their lives? How are you going to speak the unadulterated, uncompromising word of God? But you don't love, you don't spend your days with them. You don't spend your every hour with them because of the fact that it's just like a dirty rag with a clean rag. If you keep using that rag, you're going to be dirty yourself. You have to come out from among them and be separated. The Bible says how can two walk together except they are in agreement. I mean, the word of God is so pure. Come on, we got to move. We got to walk a little bit further because we're almost out of town. I believe that we're almost there. Oh, my God. When we look there, here in the 25th verse, let's go back there. Behold, I have told you before. Therefore, if they shall say to you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chamber, believe it not. But as the lightning cometh out of the east and shines even into the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever carcass is, there will the eagle be gathered together. You know how that is. If something's dead, if the carcass there, then the eagle's going to be gathered together. They're going to come, they're going to try to eat it, try to get it. And so, therefore, we need to be ready. In that 29th verse, immediately after tribulation, after the trials of those days, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give a and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the power of heaven shall be shaken. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the cloud of heaven with power and great glory. He shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. They shall gather together his elect from the four winds and from one end of heaven unto the other. I want you to know that please begin to read that 24th chapter in entirety, because it tells us about what's going to happen, the signs, so that you won't be deceived. We're getting ready to go before the throne of grace. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, we praise you, we magnify your name, we thank you, dear Lord God, for the word of God that you have given me to bring forth to your people today. My God, you've given us warning. God, you've given us an opportunity, God, to get it right. So I pray, God, even now that those that are backsliding, those that have been in Christ, backsliding, Lord, I pray, God, that they will return back to you. Lord, those, God, that don't know you as Lord and Savior, I pray, God, now that you will touch their heart, and God, that you will cause them, Father God, to walk in the righteousness of you. I pray, God, in the name of Jesus, that they will be new creatures in Christ Jesus. Old things pass away, all things, God, become new. I pray, God, that those, God, that are in situations, God, that they deem hopeless, God, that they let them know, God, that you are the hope of glory. Father, I decree and declare your word this morning, God, that they shall live and not die. God, that they shall live eternity, God, because they will get their life right with you. They will get their heart right with you, Lord God. God, that they will abide in thee, Father God, according to the 15th chapter of John. Lord, I pray, God, even now, that in the word of God, you say that we confess with our mouth, oh God, Lord God, Christ Jesus, we confess with our mouth, the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God is raising from the dead. You said that we shall be saved. Lord, you're able to save to the uttermost. You're able to give men and women, boys and girls, God, a chance, God, to spend eternity with you. Oh, God, I pray now that your mercy will continue to be extended, God, upon this world. God, that more souls will be saved, more lives will be changed before that day that you come. Father, I ask this in the mighty name of Jesus. And Lord, I pray, God, that every listener that listened to this broadcast, that their life, after the preaching of this word, that their life will be changed. And for this, God, we will glorify and we will praise thy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You have been listening to the Hour of Power broadcast with Dr. Mary Smith McCoy. Please tune in with us on this coming Friday at the same time. We will again give you truth. We will give you that unadulterated, uncompromising word of God that is able to save your soul. May God bless you and keep you. Is our prayer.